More dirt and Sprague.
Where are you going? And he's like, I'm going bowling. I just started laughing because I'm like, of course you're going bowling on a random Tuesday night.
Sounds like
night.
A great Tuesday night.
It's breakfast time with Dirt and Sprague.
Now, do you have your own ball?
I have two balls.
Starting your day with a big cup of dirt and a little splash of Sprague.
Your spare ball, you don't want it to hook as much, so it will go straighter. And then the strike ball, you want to be able to get some crank on that.
Heat on that.
When you hit the pocket, you get big pin action.
Well, everybody wants to hit the pocket. I mean, come on now.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague here, 105.1 The Fan in the Fan Sports Network. Good morning. Hello. Nice to see everybody on this beautiful Thursday morning. Hope your drive-in is going well. And thanks for hanging with us. A lot to get to in the third hour. We have one guest. The fourth hour, we have another guest as well. So we'll be trading one superstar for another superstar from the 8 to 9 a.m. exchange. But the big one is, it's hour three. It's Grego.
Right. It's Grego. Studio. And that, yeah, I was sitting there, but that is not me anymore. That is a giant Greg Oden, not
yes,
me.
Yes, yes. I love it. No longer Stephen Vaughn over there. We got Greg Oden over here on the YouTubes hanging out with us in studio. He's at the PDXYZ event. Keynote speaker yesterday for the Fireside Chat, got in late, and he is looking forward to the event as it rolls on today as well. Star-studded event. He's one of the biggest names on it. Dame Lillard's also out there. You got some local coaches from Oregon State, business leaders all throughout. It's a great event, PDXYZ. I know Danny will be out there live at the event,
yeah.
You know, teeing it up and getting everybody excited for it. But it's great to have you in studio. We talked with you a couple months ago on the phone, and that was a great chat. How you been? And thanks for coming in studio, man.
Thank you. As I said, radio people can't see me, but YouTube, you can. I was not prepared for this. I did not know I was going to be on camera.
You look great, though, dude. I mean, come on.
Yeah, for a guy who's not a morning person.
You're not a morning person. I was going to ask
not.
You that.
I am not.
Okay.
I don't know why. Well, mostly because I'm a night owl. You know, I don't go to sleep till sometime after 1.
Oh, really?
Even when I'm not doing anything, it's just... Yeah. I just don't sleep till 1. So
you brought in the Ohio State gear, and I love that because we're the home of the Ducks, and now it's football season for a lot of people. And we got this Ohio State-Oregon thing brewing locally for people. They hate your Buckeyes, and the Buckeyes have beaten them in the playoff. And how much into college football does Greg Oden get?
Whenever we win. You know, I am from Indiana, so... It was bittersweet. I had a friend that went to IU and played football there, but I was still hurt when, you know, they beat us Buckeyes in the Big Ten championship. So.
Well, that's kind of the thing now. I feel like Oregon and Ohio State have built this rivalry, but does Ohio State even care about Oregon at this point? I feel like Oregon hates Ohio State more than Ohio State would hate Oregon.
Oh.
Like, Ohio State seems like they're just
Well, of course
better.
They would hate Ohio State more because we're better.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Oregon's
so
trying to get to that
level. They're
still,
like, chasing us, I guess.
Yeah.
You guys had a lot of success when you were at Ohio State. Like, what is that like on a campus when your basketball team was as talented going into the season as many thought it would be, paired with the football program kind of being a blue blood of the sport? Like, what is that like on a campus?
Honestly, at a football school, to me, it was perfect because no matter what we did, even with all the highs, football was still had all the eyes on them. So,
yeah.
You know, it kind of felt like we were under the radar. And I kind of like that, you know, especially having all that pressure coming in as like one of the top recruiting classes. Mm-hmm. Still, no matter what we did, it was always eyes on football. And, you know, we both made it to the national championship in 07. So it was
I know that's
good.
An insane thing to have happen. How many crossover friends, like, were you guys pretty friendly football guys, basketball?
Yes,
guys?
Yes, very much. So I think we had a good relationship because football always still knew they were number one. So, you know, they had no fight from us. So.
They just want, yeah, just a couple more eyeballs on the basketball team. That's all good. Yeah, I mean, talk about that recruiting class. Just, you know, you and Conley obviously were the headliners of it growing up together, all that. Like, was that kind of like a package deal you guys back in the day or –
It wasn't an official package deal, but, you know, definitely we've played almost every basketball game together from sixth grade till we got drafted together. So
you guys kind of grew up together thinking, like, we're going to go play high school, play all this stuff together all the way to college.
I mean, we made the best decision for ourselves, but it just worked out that we went to the same school, and it definitely worked out for Mike very much.
He's still balling today,
man. Year 20. I'm happy for
him. That's crazy.
I've never met Mike. I've only talked with you now. This is the second time meeting you in person for the first. Like, you guys just both come off is very chill, like in the recruiting process, thinking like we want to be at the same school together. Like, was there ever a divide of where? Like, did he like this place a little bit more versus like it was it just Ohio State the whole way?
No, I mean he I think he really wanted to go to Wake Forest, and I really like Wake Forest too. I think when the eyes kind of looked, Chris Paul was leaving.
Yeah,
you know, it kind of made sense for us to go a place that we felt comfortable at, and I think that Mata in Columbus was the right place for us.
Was Skip Prosser still at Wake Forest at that point?
Yeah. Yes, he was.
Yeah, that was a good program, man. Yeah, you could have replaced Tim Duncan. He could have replaced CP3.
It was actually a really good program.
Yeah, they kept it going for a little bit too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Teague and Aminu and all those guys.
But you guys made the right choice. You got to the natty. I mean, what are we doing here?
I mean, we did something right.
Yeah, you did. Greg Oden, our guest in studio. He's going to be at PDXYZ event. He was there yesterday, and he's going to be there again today.
Yeah, Greg, I want to ask you about this. So, you know, reading the internet of basketball, it's the worst. Like, seeing fans and, like, you know, teenagers and old heads, we all kind of argue about things. Like, my point of view is, like, it's so hard to compare generations and eras of basketball because the game has changed so much. Like, when you came out, there was a post game, right? There's no real post game anymore. But I love to try to think of, like, guys that played in the past and who they would compare to now. Like, for me, Larry Bird, if he came into the league now, he'd be like Luka. He'd be like Luka Doncic. He'd be a point guard, have the ball, handle it all the time. Mm-hmm. I feel like Shaq would be like Giannis. Like, they'd let him dribble the ball a bit because he could move back in the day. Like, if Greg Oden were going into the 2026 NBA draft and he's preparing for the NBA, how do you think your game would translate? And, like, what would you add to your game? Or would you kind of say the same? Would you just be defensive-minded center that's just going to dominate that side of the ball?
Well, I mean, if I was able to dominate like I played, which was kind of, I'm not going to say Shaq, but Shaq-ish, I would definitely do that because these centers these days are a little
skinny.
Like,
you would still try to be posting up.
Yeah, I would still try to be posting up. I mean, even though Jokic can shoot the three and he can ball handle, I mean, most of his points is in the paint just shooting right over somebody with that little floater, you know?
That dude jumps 6 inches off the ground and nothing happens. He's always going to get it.
I mean, he's Sabonis in his prime from what I hear.
Yeah.
You know, I just think he's one of the best out there. I think Embiid, when he's healthy, you know, when he's in shape, you know, he'll shoot the three, but he'll also take you down in the post and dominate you in the post. I think those are the two best right now. Obviously, Anthony Davis, when he's healthy as the bigs, those are just the guys. But I like he just got traded to the Pacers, Zubac.
Oh, yeah. Zubac, yeah. Zubac. Yeah, he was good on the Clippers. Yeah.
I think as an old-school center, for me, somebody with touch, somebody that's just going to be solid, somebody that can't be pushed around, who can definitely command a defense. Mm-hmm. I think somebody like that, just adding a three to that game would be something.
So would you look to add a three to your game?
You would have to add the top of the key and the corner threes. Yeah. I just think that's just a must these days, especially to spread the floor out.
And you had the touch back then, dude, too.
I mean, I did. I just never shot threes.
That's what I'm saying.
I was like, why would I shoot threes if I can just dunk on you?
I mean, yeah, it's hard to beat that.
You know, and then, you know, with the injuries, I never really had the chance to kind of solidify my game to the point where I can actually expand it because I was never really playing enough to actually dominate, you know, before I can be like, all right, let me expand because I see where I'm at now. So, I mean, I can see myself expanding, but I never had that opportunity.
You know, I think two centers I would think of in what you're talking about, Stephen, with what Greg is also saying is like the idea of what a player is when they come in the league and if they're there for a certain length evolving into something different, like
Brook Lopez.
Marc Gasol, like two guys, did not shoot threes. Like, go look at the difference between 1 year of Brook. He shot like 1 3 a game, and the next year it was like 8. And it was like from then on, he became a 3-point specialist.
Yeah.
It's a wild way of evolving. I find on the internet stuff, also television, I don't know what it is about basketball. I love basketball. I've watched it my whole life. I don't know what it is about the sport that lends itself to, I think, the most ridiculous conversations in how we cover or talk about a sport from a media standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
The ESPN shows. Is this guy a GOAT? Is this guy clutch? Is this guy a bum, a bust, or whatever? Like, they don't cover it the way they cover other sports. And I've always found that very odd about basketball.
You know, I actually saw something earlier this week, and I think it was surrounding Caitlin Clark. Somebody asked her like a political question, and then that was a big debate, and it was just like, you know, you don't do that to anybody else You know, you don't go to Bobby Flay and ask him what his political views are, you know. But when it comes to basketball, it's always, no, you need to answer this. You need to talk about this.
Yeah.
And it's like, why is that, you know?
Yeah, what is it about that sport? It's even former players. Like, you have former players that'll kind of crap on the modern-day players, and I don't know what that is. Why don't they support it more? Or, like, why don't they, like, lend a voice behind, like, advocating for the players in the league? Like, it just feels like it's a lot of former players who are... I don't know, maybe not jealous is the right
bitter.
Term. Bitter or some, I don't know what it is, man, but there's a weird thing around the way the league is covered, even by former players, where they're constantly saying, well, he's not good enough. He needs this guy. He needs that guy to save him. It's just an odd dynamic.
You always need the drama. I don't think it's particularly coming from the former players. Like, this is the attack that I want to do.
Yeah.
I can think of one, but I don't speak of him. He did football. He's terrible. But, you know, I just think the guys, I mean, it's coming up from the higher-ups.
Yeah.
I mean, as you've seen with ESPN and those guys getting fired, if, you know, they start getting a little bit of influence, you mm-hmm. know, and you can start dictating your own narrative, higher-ups is like, nah, we got to control that. So, I mean, it's coming from somewhere. I don't think it's necessarily coming from the players.
Gotcha. Greg Oden in studio joining us.
That's why I love what you're saying right now, because, like, you're paying respects to all the guys that play mm-hmm. now, but you're also like, dude, if I played, I'd still be great too. Like you understand, it's just like, I was awesome back then, but I'd be great now, where a lot of people are like, nah, like, if you couldn't play in the 2000s, you couldn't play now. And it's just, it's so weird to me, like you're saying, Brandon.
It does go that way too, where it's like, those guys weren't good enough to play in a certain era.
Like, they couldn't handle the toughness, they couldn't handle the physicality. It's like, no, like, the game has evolved. You love Embiid, you love Jokic, but also, you stick me out there, I'm going to be great as well.
I'm pretty sure guys will evolve. I mean, obviously LeBron playing in basically three different decades, you know,
mm-hmm.
I think your game can evolve and the type of players. I mean, once you make it to the pros, I mean, you're one of the best and the best in the world. So I think you can withstand, you know, evolving your
game.
What
was that like playing with LeBron?
It was fun. Yeah. Believe me, I've never seen a more talented person, and I just mean individual, like as a human being. And then when you go on the court, I've seen him do things I've never seen before on a basketball court, and still being one of the nicest human beings and one of the busiest human beings in the world.
Do you think that was peak LeBron, the heat LeBron, or is it when he was in Cleveland?
I always say that Miami LeBron was a created player. Like, I think Miami LeBron was probably one of that 4 years was probably one of the best 4 years you could possibly do as a player. But to add the three to his game, the maturity, the way he actually game managed, I thought LeBron was, you know, when he got to Cleveland, I think that's how you bring a championship to
the second
Cleveland
one. Is he talking about the second Cleveland run?
Yeah, second Cleveland.
Yeah, that's my favorite LeBron, I think. It felt like he had unlocked. He'd gone through the loss of the Maverick thing, won the title, came up short, and then it just felt like his brain had unlocked so many aspects of basketball, and he still had all the kind of the prime.
I mean, he was, 8 years going to the finals in a row? I mean, that's a lot of basketball, and actually a lot of not time off. You know, most guys, when the season's over, you know, take that little break. But for him, playing all the way into June every year, and then some years having the Olympics, I mean, he basically never got out of shape. I mean, to have that type of discipline, you know, for all these years, what, 23 now?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just amazing.
And high intensity games, too.
Yes. I mean, everybody say he had a down year, averaging 20-7-6 or
at
something
age,
like that.
That's a career year for 90% of the league. It's insane.
Career year? What? I would feel like I'm a Hall of Famer just doing that 1 year.
Touche. That's a good point. Greg Oden joining us in studio is going to be the PDXYZ event there yesterday for Fireside Chat. He's one of the speakers at the event. Happens every year. It's a great event. Business leaders, sports leaders, coaches, players, former players, you name it. A lot of people out at PDXYZ. Danny will be out there live for the firm coming up after our show. You coached for a little bit. Do you like the way, just as somebody who grew up in one era of playing basketball and training, the way the sport has evolved and seeing the way that we play the game, like how much you enjoy watching it?
Oh, I definitely enjoy watching the game. I've been a fan of basketball, even more of a fan since I retired. And I thought I was going to take that time and be like, I'm not watching basketball. But honestly, I was watching NBA TV and ESPN all day, like the next day, like all day. So, but on the coaching aspect, I think in college and high school, it's a lot going on with NIL. I think it's the motivation for these kids. It's all about money. I think motivation for the parents is all about money. I think these kids are not going to the right schools because some of them are getting money grabs. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think they're thinking about their development or developing as a young human instead of trying to get as much money as possible and then transferring 3-4 times. I know now the new rule, you got 5 years, but you know, you transfer 4 times in 5 years, you know, at some point it's you know, mm-hmm. and I don't care if it's the money grab. Are you still paying your taxes from your old school in that state? Are you going to get the opportunity? Are you getting better? And now because you're getting paid, are you still going to fight to try to be the best player you want to be, to go overseas, to try to make it to the pros because you're already getting paid? So where is that fire to be better and do something else?
Now, you were the number one overall pick, so it may be a little different. But if you were in college now, would you think about staying a second year because of NIL and the money that you can get playing at college?
Yeah,
I definitely would have considered it. I mean, I honestly considered it before. Yeah. You know, I actually went to coach and was like, we got this close. Like, what are we going to do about running it back? And he was like, dude, you're going to be the number one pick. I can't allow you to stay here. Like, I wouldn't.
So you would legit think about for sure staying at least 2 or 3 years.
100%. Like, I always wanted to be that guy that when I went back to my college, that when I looked in the program, I had some records in there. You know, I can always go back no matter what and be like, hey, this dad was all right. You know, you see my name here. So I always thought about that, but that's how I looked at it. You know, bringing something to a university, a lasting legacy, but that was just me at that point. Yeah. You know,
but you kind of had to go at this point. I mean, to be a number one overall pick,
you got to take advantage of that. Right. It doesn't happen a lot in a lifetime.
We thought we were gonna have you yesterday until the flight got delayed, so we were gonna play a game called Stat or Story. So okay. We give a number and you got to guess, is that a stat or is that a story related to that number?
Okay.
And we were gonna play a You Edition.
Okay.
And our producer Jason over there, he came up with he kept his. I took mine out because you weren't here. He kept his. Can you guess the highest amount of blocks you ever recorded at Ohio State in your season there? Do you know that number, top of your head?
8.
Ooh.
College Basketball Reference had it at 7.
7.
Do you know what game it was?
No.
Michigan.
Oh, that's about right. Yeah, that's about right.
They were
that's a good
that's
one.
That's a good game to have.
That's a good one to do.
That's a great one to do.
I feel good about myself.
7 blocks, 7 rebounds.
7 blocks, 7
Beating
rebounds.
Michigan.
Oh, my gosh. I was a terrible rebounder.
Well, you mentioned, like, kids and parents and stuff, and I just started coaching youth basketball a couple years ago, so, like, I've started to see some of what you're talking about at a lower level. I also remember reading about you in magazines before you got to Ohio State. You were on TV a lot. And you know, you're kind of at the, not the forefront per se, but you were in the real swing up era of AAU and like kind of people hearing about you through summer camps and tournaments and whatnot. Like, did you even feel it then as a younger person, like what it was kind of becoming in the ecosystem of it versus even what it's become now in the last 20 years?
Yes and no.
Yeah.
I think I was a little bit sheltered. You know, in Indiana, I got to notice a lot of things, but I didn't notice how big and, you know, across the nation a lot of these things were. You know, for me, you know, being on the Slam magazine, it was just about, like, showing my boys, you know, being hype, but not thinking about, yeah, you know, this is going all the way across the country, actually across the world, and people are seeing you there, and I'm, 17 years old on the cover of that. You know, I honestly didn't really think about that till just now, which is crazy. You know,
like, dude, I read about you, and you had no idea I existed. It was just like, this cat's dominating high school basketball right now.
Hey, that was literally my life, you know? But you see, as we talk about youth sports, like, at that time I just worried about playing basketball and being a student and being a kid, and I think that's what a lot of these kids are missing. It's all about what can this NIL do. A lot of parents live in through their kids. You know, the one thing that I hear a lot of coaches say is, you know, let the coach and you be the parent. You know, you can be there in the sidelines trying to tell your kid what to do, but if you're going to do that, you might as well coach them, you know. Let the coach actually be the coach and let them have their ups and downs, but they also going to need their parent once that game's over. So please put more effort into being the parent instead of being the coach on the sideline.
Dude, I'm going to clip this up because I have two kids, 11 and 7, and just like you see that all the time, just these parents out in the crowd. acted like they know what they're doing. It's just like, go out and coach them then. Like, exactly. if you know what you're talking about, go do it. And you hear these athletes like you as a high-level athlete, you're saying, dude, just let them go play. Let them have some fun. Let them figure it out themselves and stay out of it, and they'll be a lot more better experience.
I mean, they're going to need your support as a parent more than anything.
I've never been more tested than being in the middle of a game and somebody's dad is literally behind me. Shoot!
Are you going to go in the stands and hand him the clipboard?
I mean, I wanted to, but I knew him too well. And I was like, she's double teamed, dude. Stop saying shoot the ball.
That's the thing. You know these parents, too. Like, you're friends with them outside of it. You're like, I need you to shut up here.
But I don't want to tell you to shut up.
Yeah,
shut
I can't tell you, but I want to.
Gregory Oden, our guest here. He's in studio. He's in town for the PDXYZ event. Got here yesterday. Did the fireside chat. He'll be there again. We're going to roll on. Let's take a quick break. We'll dive into some Blazer stuff. I want to ask you about the Moda Center. You're going to be there tonight.
Yes.
And I want to ask you your thoughts on the building. I know you have a lot of thoughts on architecture and building and whatnot, but high level athlete, you know what like a good environment looks like. I'm curious because we're going through a little something here locally. And then I have 7'1" questions I need to ask you as a 6'1" guy.
Okay.
About life as a 7'1" guy. Is that okay? Can we dive into
that
height?
That works for me.
Okay. I'd love to dive in. Gregory Oden joins us. We roll on hour three on The Fan. Welcome back in. 8:29 on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan. The PDXYZ event happens every year in August, and it's kicked off. It started yesterday, and so we have the great honor of hosting in studio Gregory Oden, former number one pick in Blazer, and talked to him a couple months ago on the phone. Delightful conversation. Since I was a little, I got to be honest with you, if we ever got into a physical tussle, you'd probably handle me in less than 10 seconds. It'd be over. I was a little like wanting to fight Greg Oden for not telling me he used to smoke cigarettes and get $1 million in China and telling a different podcast that.
Oh, my gosh.
Did you know how viral that went? That went crazy viral that you smoked cigarettes 80 times a day and got $1 million tax-free.
Well, first off, it wasn't 80. It was a pack a day, though.
You still dabbling in the heaters? You still smoking? No. Okay. All right.
First off, the ones over here ain't like over there.
Really?
Over there, you hit it 3 times, it's gone. Over here, you hit it 50 times, and it's still almost done.
Now, you were in China. I went to Vietnam in 2019, and I noted going to like their version of 7-Eleven.
Mm-hmm.
They sell cigarettes in Vietnam. I don't know if it's like this in China. On the cover of the cigarette is not the company. It doesn't say Marlboro. There's not a camel on there. It is a person that has lung cancer, or their jaw is removed, or they're smoking out of a hole. They like have photos of these people to like get you to not smoke. It's a very weird tactic or policy that they have.
I think it's smart. I mean,
it is smart, but
if you get something with a person with a hole in their throat, I think you might want to change your mind. Like, I probably shouldn't do this one.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, that's a great story, though. I really enjoyed listening to that. But we got Gregory Oden in studio, PDXYZ event. Can we talk a little Blazers with you?
Yes.
We've definitely made a lot of waves. We got a, El Cheapo is the owner. We traded for Ja Morant, a move that nobody here saw coming because we all thought, okay, they got Dame coming back, Drew, Denny,
Scoot.
We're going to go wing. We're going to add a 3-and-D wing guy, somebody good. Trey Murphy out of New Orleans is an example. And they went and got Ja Morant. That was a pivot nobody saw coming. And now we're also in the middle of funding an arena renovation. The arena was built in 95, and it's really old, and they want the renovations. They don't want to put any money in. It's just welcome to the S-storm of Portland Trailblazer offseason basketball. Have you dove in or heard any of the stories that I have mentioned, the Ja Morant trade maybe, the funding issue with Moda Center? Just a lot going on here.
Well, I've heard it all. I know a little bit about the funding situation. Do you want the Blazers? You guys own it.
We do.
I would love it, yeah.
I'm in on the funding.
But I actually saw a couple articles that went the opposite way when they were like, is Portland more financially stable without the Blazers? And I was like, did you actually read this article before you put it out? Like, is that not what Portland is?
It is.
Kind of the Trailblazers?
It is the Trailblazers.
All right. So, I mean, I think you gotta put up the money. You know? And it would be good if you guys can meet halfway with the new owner, but I don't...
He won't meet with us. That's the other part is the city officials, I think, have pissed him off to the point we don't even see him. He's not here.
Oh, gosh.
He's like in Dallas. He doesn't go to the city.
He's a Texas guy. He didn't leave.
Even his hockey team, he's not in Raleigh, North Carolina very much. He's always in Dallas.
Okay. All right.
Very hands-on but not seen owner. It's a very interesting dynamic.
Yeah, that is very interesting. So with that being said, then what are we talking about? So it seems like he has all the power, and it's like either we're going to put money up or not.
It feels that way, but also, like, I don't think he has anywhere to go with them. Like, I think he would like to move them as the threat, and he's obviously using it, but I don't... What city would take them? Because Nashville is Memphis territory. That owner won't vote for it. San Antonio has Austin. They're not going to vote for that.
Mm-hmm.
We talked to a guy in Kansas City. They haven't really had the discussions. There's $600 million in the hole for the Royals Stadium. The Chiefs are there. Like, they got their own issues, and their arena's kind of old.
The Chiefs building a new stadium.
Yeah,
too,
but they're
right?
building it in... Kansas.
Or is it in Kansas?
Yeah, I always get the Kansas City, Missouri thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they got that. Outside of that, dude,
and then Seattle and Vegas are going to be expansion teams.
That's too much money to bypass.
Yeah. Oh, really?
So he's got nowhere to really take them, but also, you're right, he's got the leverage of...
Do you want the Blazers? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's how much more in taxes is that for everybody?
Well, so some of it is the jock tax, but he's also, he was asked why he's not putting the money in. And he said, well, me buying the team was the sign that I put money in. And also, I'm paying a lot in taxes in Oregon, so he doesn't feel he needs to put anything in. That was his reasoning.
I mean, you have to pay taxes anyways.
Oh, but in Oregon, it's a little different, Greg. I don't know if you've heard that.
I mean, I haven't in a long time, so please explain to me.
It's just a high price to him, the taxes he has to pay here versus other places.
Yeah.
So
let's talk about some more fun, like on the court stuff. Let's get away from that.
You don't want to talk about
arena
renovations?
I want to hear what Gregory thinks about Ja coming to Portland.
I am excited about Ja. I'm a big Ja Morant fan.
Yeah.
I think this is a fresh start for him. I think with Nike being here, just having some stability, having a city, you know, that loves basketball and he loves the hoop. I think it can be a really good fit. I know we are a little guard heavy, but I think this is an opportunity for him to kind of change his game a little bit and probably add a little bit more defense. I mean, I can see him averaging 2.3 steals a game. You know, that would be big time and show a little bit more to his game. But also, I know we talked about it's a possibility him coming off the bench. But what second unit is going to stop Ja Morant? Like, giving him that opportunity just to come in and just dominate and then have the ball in his hands, and it would be a whole different look to that offense.
How does that mindset change you, though, of being a guy like Ja who was, you know, they're trying to push him as the face of the NBA for a while there. Mm-hmm. If he's come off the bench, how does your mindset change from being the star to now the sixth man?
I mean, we have some six mans that actually have been stars on their team. And we're talking about Jamal Crawford and the Lou Wills, you know.
Ginobili's.
Yeah. I mean, Ginobili's freaking all-star. Mm-hmm. I thought that year that Kawhi won his first MVP, I thought that was Manu Ginobili's MVP.
Yeah.
I was on the other side with the Heat, and mm-hmm. it was like we would be up by two or three, then Manu would come in, and then we would be down by 10
yeah.
within like 3 minutes. And it was just like that's the type of guy that, you know, you're going to add a piece to a team, you know, just flourish in your role. And I think that's the opportunity that Ja has. I mean, it doesn't matter if he's starting or if he's coming off the bench. Whatever they ask you to do, what's going to be best for the team. I think with Dame's leadership, hopefully, you know, that can come in. You know, he can kind of, I'm not say fall in line, but I think he can commit to the team in that aspect.
Well, I mean, you mentioned in the last segment, you know, playing and being with LeBron, and you talked about, like, the leadership aspect of all that, D. Wade there, whatnot. But, mm-hmm. like, I am curious, as somebody that's never been in the locker room, and you have both in the leadership, face of a franchise, and then also as a role guy, like, I just, what a locker room dynamic really looks like when you have a guy like Ja, who a lot of people speculate, is he changed? Is he going to be different? Is he going to be okay off the court? All that stuff that people have brought up, but like in the locker room, you've got Drew Holiday and Damian Lillard. Those mm-hmm. are two as respected a leaders or, you know, locker room team guys, I think, as you can come across mm-hmm. in the league. Like, the real impact kind of that stuff can really have versus how we just talk about it when we're not in it.
Yeah, I mean, first things first, I mean, we all don't really know Ja Morant like that. You know, we can speculate all the stuff that happened, but we're all not sitting in the locker room. We're not at home. We're not having conversations with him like that. You know, we don't know his true character like that. So he can be totally different. The narrative could have just changed. So we don't know what type of person he is. I know when I've met him before, he was actually a really good dude, a really stand-up human being, somebody that gave it all to that Memphis Grizzlies, to that franchise. And I think this opportunity, you know, and all the stuff that he went through, hopefully was humbling, and that he can become that guy that was almost the face of the franchise, being face of the league, you know, and that type of player again.
Mm-hmm. Coming to a place like Portland, like, you're kind of a big fish in a small pond, right? Like, mm-hmm. that's all we kind of got are the Blazers. And mm-hmm. so we really focus on it, and it can be a positive and a negative, but like, how do you think Ja can use that and use it as like a positive to maybe, you know, like you said, not fall in line, but maybe get a little more mature? Do you think mm-hmm. that could actually help him by coming to Portland and having it be like, hey, you know what? This is what we're focused on right here in Portland. Like, we love the Blazers. We want you to get better. Do you think that could help him going forward?
I mean, if you guys make the playoffs, you know, get the first round, you know, get to the second round possibly. I mean, I think, honestly, that's all he really needs to change the narrative. Mm-hmm. Get on the team and win and not have any problems, you know. That's the simple thing that he could possibly do.
What do you think of the team? Just out of curiosity, with Dame, Drew, Scoot, Ja, and then you've got Tamani Kamara, Denny Ob. It's just it's they obviously have talent, but also it's a kind of an interesting roster construction mm-hmm. of a lot of guards and centers.
Yes. So I love when I think about it now. You got Drew. Mm-hmm. You got Klingon.
Yep.
Kamara. So you do got three defenders. Now you got Shohan. He's another defender coming off the bench. Mm-hmm. Grant, when he wants to turn it on, he's a great defender, you know. But now I think about it, you guys got a lot of offensive power. Mm-hmm. And I just think, especially in the West, with them adding LaMelo and Ant Edwards together, I mean, a lot of these teams are just, I mean, freaking Utah is going to have a squad that's going to go out there and score, you know, 115 a mm-hmm. game, you know. So I just think you need that offensive firepower. And when I think about it, you guys do got some really good defenders that can hold down the fort. God willing, everybody stays healthy. So that's when I say, you know, it would be great to see Ja kind of put a little bit more dedication to the defensive end of the floor. That would just add so much more to his game and just a whole nother dynamic to this team that a lot of people wouldn't see.
Yeah. We got one more segment with Greg Oden in the studio. Let's wrap it up. I got one more Blazer question I want to ask mm-hmm. you, and then tall person questions I kind of curious about.
Okay, that works.
Does anybody ever ask you about tall stuff?
They asked me what the air is like.
So lame.
That's not the questions so I lame, have. Yeah. No, those are different questions. All right, back with more. Wrap it up with Greg Oden next on the Fan. All right, welcome back in. 8:46. We're going to go from number one pick in the NBA draft to Indy 500 winner.
Winners all around.
We're going to do a pit stop. Greg's going to tag in Will Power. Will Power's going to jump in, and we'll talk with Will Power as Greg Oden's in town for the PDXYZ event. Go check it out. It's a great event. It's city leaders, it's movers and shakers, athletes, coaches, executives. It's a great event. We've hosted the beginning of it a couple years ago, just over here by our building, and they've been going for years strong. Danny's going to be out at the event as Greg Oden is one of the speakers at it. Now, real quick, at the event itself, when they reach out to you to see if you want to be a speaker, mm-hmm. do they say, hey, we're interested in having you here? Do you say, what do I talk about? Or do you say, oh, I can come up with something? Like, do you have an idea of exactly what you're doing at the event going into it?
Well, going into it, you know, I got to know what they want their audience to come across, you know, and then that way I can make a decision. If that's something that I know and that I speak about or that I can relate to, then I'll agree to it. But I'm honored that they brought me out here. It's a lot of people. I like to shout out Teresa Tran. She's big time. She does a lot of things. I've known her for a long time. Actually, she's done some work with Nike. She helped put on my 21st birthday party Ooh. Here in Portland, and she's actually speaking today. Actually, she's speaking probably right now at the event, and she's just been awesome. I think for anybody that wants to come out and meet people in and throughout sports, I think this is a great event, and I'm happy to be able to speak.
What goes into planning a 21st birthday for an NBA player? Just that, like, is there a lot of like yes, no, or does she just do it and you show up?
I think it was a lot. I just showed up.
Yeah.
I mean, only thing I wanted to do was tell my mom I'm a grown man. And I did.
Yeah.
With a lot of explicit words in that.
Okay. One more Blazer question for you. When you think about them in the West, because we have this monster in San Antonio who is an alien. First of all, what would you do if you're playing a Wimby? Like if it's
like
if,
how you guard him.
Like yeah, what is the strategy? Because you are you look like you've lost a little bit of weight from your playing day. Like you are a big dude. Like are you just bullying him because he's tall and skinny?
I mean, you have to. I mean, that's what Mitchell Robinson did.
Yeah, he
did. You just took advantage of him and you know made sure you pushed him under the basket and then you got the rebound and made him foul you. But on the defensive end, it's hard. The guards, you got to come up. You got to switch too. I mean, I know you're shorter than him. He can shoot over you, but that's the best thing you can possibly do is just not let him get to the basket because once he starts getting those dunks and those alley-oops, that momentum changes and that team just starts playing a little differently.
Yeah. So how do you like Portland in terms of where they stack up with OKC, San Antonio, Denver, Minnesota? Like the Lakers still have Luka. They're going with the Snowtime Lakers now. They got all white guys. Like how do you put Portland in the pantheon of the West right now? Just looking at it on paper, I guess.
You can be honest.
Be honest. We're not going to
hate you. Those honestly, right now, those teams that you just said are probably ahead of Portland.
And you got Utah going to come up. Dallas, I think, is going to get better with Kyrie now. Like,
You forget about Phoenix.
Yep.
Yeah, they just signed Dylan Brooks to an extension. So, yeah. Okay, great.
No, we're on the same page.
Yeah.
No, we still didn't mention the babyface assassin up in Golden State. Yeah. So
can't forget.
Yeah, it's a tough conference. Mm-hmm. But honestly, I love what Denny did last year. I thought he was just amazing. I thought the step that Donovan made was big time. Shaden. Scoot, I'm looking forward to him. I seen he's been putting in work. I saw him this summer. He looked really good, and he was really excited and motivated. I think just the team's hungry, and I'm excited to see what they do. I'm excited to see what that next step is, and then to add Ja into the mix. I hope it makes us a little bit more exciting, and we can take that to even further.
You're a coach. I think, like, you've coached before. Do you ever get the urge to reach out to guys to give them thoughts, or do you not do, like, if Donovan Klingon, do you see him and he's trying to develop an offensive game? He's a really good defender, obviously, a good screen setter, all that, block shots, rebounds. You ever, like, do that, or do you think about reaching out to younger players to just offer thoughts?
I have before, and, you know, when I'm around, I'll definitely talk to them about some stuff, you know, but as I said earlier, I'm not their coach, so I'm not going to be messing up, you know, their psyche and what all the coach is doing to get them in the right way to fit that system. I understand how those little twinks can kind of mess up, you know, a team chemistry, but definitely, you know, just little pointers to help him in his individual game. I did that a couple years ago when I came here, when they brought me back, and just got to sit down and talk with him. And, you know, he's definitely done a lot better than me. I see him shooting them threes with confidence. I'm actually proud of him. I love his defense. I wish he would dunk on people a little bit more. I'm a big fan. I love Hans, by the way. I think he can be really good. He's really skilled. I think, you know, last year it was just a whirlwind once the season started. But I think if he slows down, I think he can be really good.
All right. Tall questions for Greg Oden before you're out of here, because we have just a couple minutes.
Well, just a couple of minutes. Since we're done talking about the Blazers, I love the Blazers. I'm excited to see the fire tonight.
There you go.
You know, this organization has done everything for me. They changed my life. I'm really appreciative of it. And if they ever need a scout in the Midwest, I'm reaching out to you, Micah.
Let's go. Let's hook them up, man. Yeah,
that'd be great to have.
Love it.
First question I have, 7'1 guy, sleeping on the road. How does it work for tall people? Because beds are fine for me. They're fine for Stephen Vaughn.
Yeah.
How does it work for Greg Oden on the road?
I've been sleeping diagonal, but usually I sleep with a pillow in between my knees like a baby. So
cuddling.
I'm okay. I'm
cuddler.
Okay. I'll make it work.
How do you deal with the shower, like, on the road? Because even me, I'm 6'2". Like, I feel like I tower over showers and stuff on the road.
I still shower 2-3 times a day. Just, doesn't
how
matter.
Do you do it? You just like bed down or what?
I mean, I try not to get my hair wet, obviously, yeah. but you know.
Cars, yeah. Driving in cars. I mean, you're customizing them, but if you're not, like, it seems uncomfortable.
I used to customize them. I used to get the handicap thing, extra little thing so the seat goes back.
Oh,
I usually make
smart
all my,
move.
My seats, like the four-seaters would have been three-seaters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I usually do that to all of my cars. But now I'm able to fit a little bit. You know, they got a little bit more extra leg room, that little diagonal push down.
Yeah.
That works. I stick my legs out straight. That's all I need.
I like that you've eliminated the back seat basically behind you.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. 100%. You can't have that, no.
No, there's no way.
What about, like, clothes? Like,
do you have to get Polo, Ralph Lauren, I need you to give me a call because if I'm not wearing Nike, I'm literally only wearing Polo because Polo is the big and tall. Like, Polo is the only clothes that's kind of for skinny and tall.
Okay. Mm.
You know, like, you go to a big and tall store, all the... It's the 3X, the 4X.
Yeah.
But Polo got a nice little size for, you know, the tall, skinny brothers.
Yeah.
You know? Or I like to say skinny fat.
When you were a kid, did you have to do the Big Dog?
What is that?
You don't remember the Big Dog clothing line? It was...
No.
Oh, well, it was for bigger people.
I think it was just... Yeah, but that's like big people.
Is it just for fat people?
Isn't it?
I thought it was thought like it was 3X and 4X. I just thought it was for tall and fat.
I don't know. Didn't...
When did you hit your growth spurt, by the way? Were you in middle school or high school?
I was in middle school. Sixth grade, I think I ended fifth grade at 5'11 and ended sixth grade at 6'6.
Oof. Damn.
That's crazy.
Are you the tallest person in your family?
Yes.
Is there anybody close to you?
My younger brother is 6'9.
6'9, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Damn, 7'1, that's awesome. 6'6 in sixth grade.
Well,
that's
I great. Mean, 6'11 and a half without shoes, you know.
You're a basketball guy, though. We got to get
you
2 inches.
The shoes
what are you
on
doing
there,
yeah. here?
I mean, I like 6'12 personally, but.
What is it with basketball players where some of them don't want to be 7 foot? Like Kevin Durant does that sometimes. Yeah. We're like, you're 7 feet. And he's like, I'm 6'10.
Well, he also came in where you guys, as we talked about the game, you know, it was told at 7 foot, you got to be this, you got to be that. Kevin Durant was never any of
he
that.
He wasn't a bit, yeah, traditional. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But saying 6'9", that's wild. When he first came in and saying 6'9", it was like, yeah. KD, you looking at me in my eyes. No, that's no.
So did you ever have a problem with being 7 foot, 7'1"?
No, no, not at all.
Because he's a back to the basket player.
Right. Yeah, I should. Yeah.
I mean, why would I?
Player right now you'd most want to go against in a game?
I'm going to have to say my boy, Mike Conley.
Oh, you want to go against your boy?
I mean, I'm taller than him, and I'm not skilled anymore, so I'm pretty sure I can use my advantage and take him down in the post.
Yeah. Very quickly, we appreciate you stopping in. Yay or nay, 54-year-old Shaquille O'Neal could still get a bucket if he played in an NBA game today?
Today, I mean, he's been looking in better shape. Yes, I say yay.
Oh, okay.
Because who's going to get around him? I mean, even when I played him, when we played Phoenix the first time, and I was looking around him, and I couldn't see the ball, and then I got on one side, and next thing I know, he was dunking the ball. I was like, I looked at Coach, and I was like, I couldn't see. Like, I literally couldn't see around him. So you just think about
that. It's
like
a brick wall.
No, it really was.
That's insane. All right, and final question for you. Teammate you hated the most in your career. Are you going to give us that answer on the air?
Channing Frye.
Oh, okay.
Greg,
I love you, Channing.
Gregory Oden hates Channing Frye. There you go.
I love you, Channing.
Mark it down.
I love you. He's the only name I know I could say.
Oh, okay, there you go.
And he won't feel you.
Check him out. Greg Oden, PDXYZ event. It's happening. It does every August. He did the Fireside Chat, and it rolls on today. Joining us here for the hour in studio. Thank you so much for hopping on with us.
Thank you.
And maybe get you on the horn in a couple months and talk some more ball.
I would like that very much.
Good stuff from Greg Oden. Let's pivot into the final hour of the radio program. We got the Magic Hat and also in studio, Will Power, 2018 Indy 500 champion joining us here at the Grand Prix here in Portland. Hour 4 on 105.1 The Fan.